The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 10th day of March 2023. And tonight, this program is in the capable hands of our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have tonight, being Friday night, way out yonder in Texas. That's right, the Houston area down there. We have that notable sterling statesman, none other than John McTernan.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners, and may we have a blessed show tonight.
Well, let's do that. Let's get her done. The title of the message was Our God, Our Victory, Their God, Their Defeat. And we're going to pick it up where we left off. John said, could you go to Psalm 139 and read me verses 7 through 10? That's Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10.
Okay. Get my Bible open here, Pastor Ernie. Psalm 139,
verses 7 through 10.
Okay, I'm there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me.
All righty, so here today, John, have you noticed that there seems to be cameras everywhere? Everywhere there's cameras. Everywhere you go.
Yes, absolutely. That's. I think America has more cameras, surveillance cameras, than any other country, like including China.
Well,
they call it ubiquitous, means it's everywhere.
Well, you know, it's the Antichrist system trying to appear to be omnipresent, huh?
It's a way of trying to achieve what God is, but they're obviously Satan can't do it, so they're using technology.
So this technology that Satan uses for the unsaved, for those, for the wokes, for the woke-a-dopes, and here the progressives, does this give them kind of a false sense of security because they know that government is their god, the Antichrist system, and does that give them security thinking, well, we have our government's in complete control, does it or does it not?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I guess to some it does, but I don't think it's really soaked into the conscience of Americans at any level how deep the and broad and intrusive this camera spying on us is.
So do you think that even maybe the progressives or the communists, that they may think, well, you know what, you know, we don't particularly like this either. Do you think that's because it seems to me that that gives them a false sense of confidence that they're all, that the more spying, the better. I mean, it seems to me that they don't like freedom of speech. They want a silence. They don't want people to be able to speak free, and they don't want people to have any privacy at all.
Well, that's true, and I think to the hardcore, you're exactly right. The hardcore, beyond the hardcore, I don't know if they realize the noose that's being put around everybody's neck with this digital surveillance.
So those that aren't hardcore, would you say that they're simple-minded, as it says in Proverbs 2?
Yeah. Thinking themselves wise, they've become fools.
Well, that's Romans chapter 1, but you're right. But he talks in Proverbs about the simple-minded. They just don't get it. Okay, God.
Oh yeah. In Proverbs, it talks about the simple-minded. I'm going to paraphrase it. They walk in the way of destruction, but those with wisdom get out of the way.
All right. So let me ask you this. How does Satan's technology compare to God's technology?
Well, God, no, he's God. He's outside of our dimension and time, and he knows everything that's going on everywhere in the world.
So
there's nothing hidden before him.
Does God need to depend on anything other than his own ability?
No, Pastor.
So his power, we call it technology, is supernatural. It's supernatural. Does God's ability have any limitations?
No, he created the universe. He's all powerful. He's everywhere at once through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that catches him by surprise. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning.
Okay, so his power has no limitations, but the Antichrist, the world power, does have limitations, okay? And so let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Could you read me verses 12 and 13 in Hebrews 4? Did I hear pages turning? Do you have an actual real Bible?
No, you didn't hear pages turning from me.
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 4?
Yeah, verses 12 and 13.
Okay. I'm there in Hebrews 4. Let me get down to 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
All right, so here, people always ask me, what's the difference between the spirit and the soul? What is the difference between the spirit and soul? So it's up to you now tonight, McTurnan, to tell people.
Well, the way I look at it, Pastor Ernie, is the soul is our human part, and our spirit is the part that's connected to God. And they, as I look at it here in Hebrews 4:12, only the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, is able to tell where one end and one begins. Now, that's the way I look at it. The soul, because it tells you here, it's able to divide it asunder, the soul and spirit. So how does that fit your definition?
Well, the Bible kind of tells you that the soul is who you are. It's your personality.
Right.
When it refers to
the human part of us.
Yeah, when it refers to so many. Now, your spirit is your life force. And that life force, once you're saved, is connected with we have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But now, then why is it that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, now, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So here, the soul and the spirit is so closely connected, and it operates with such closeness that only the Word of God can really define the difference. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly right.
I knew it.
And you can see it, like the bones, the joints, and the marrow. You know, the marrow is within the bone, and they're like one, but they're separate.
All right, very good. Now, let's do this. Let's turn over to Isaiah 54. And Isaiah 54, let's go to verse 17.
Isaiah 54, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Okay, so you had two groups of people that were considered God's chosen people, and so that was Israel and the church. So would this apply to both equally? Because God being immutable, he says he doesn't change the way he does things. Would that apply to both the Hebrew, Israel and the church?
No, I believe so, Pastor Ernie, yes. I've used that verse many, many, many times through the years and applied it to myself and, you know, the people of God's people in the church.
So here, can God alone without challenge by anybody or anything, actually guarantee our future?
I don't understand.
Okay, so God alone, let's give an example. I often talk with folks all the time, especially lately, where a lot of people are sick. A lot of people are sick, and they're worried about this treatment, they're worried about that treatment. I've had others telling me that they want to get everything in order in case they die right away. Others think that they're going to be living. Some are afraid to go into the hospital because they don't trust hospitals anymore. There's a lot of anxiety out there amongst people. But doesn't the Bible teach that God and God alone, it's his call, that the very moment of our death, that the very day and hour of our departure has already been preset by God? Has he not already determined that?
Yes, he has, Pastor Ernie. But sometimes we can make wrong decisions and poor choices that can take us into maybe a situation God didn't want us to go into.
But he was totally aware of how it would end up, right? I mean,
absolutely.
So, I mean, there's not a lot we can do that surprises God, is there?
Nothing surprises him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So here, though, he says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, even in every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So God can't be prevented in accomplishing what he wills, can he?
Well, you know, if I understand you right, Pastor Ernie, the book of Acts comes to mind, and having to do with Stephen, and Stephen was speaking to the Pharisees there, and he said, "You always resist the Holy Ghost."
Yeah, they do. Okay.
Yeah, so God can have a will for us to do something, and to our own detriment, it can be resisted.
Okay. Well, we can resist, but I'm saying God himself can't be prevented in accomplishing what he wills, okay? If God decides that he's going to do such and such, he says, "I've said it, and I will do it," okay? And I will perform it, okay?
Oh, yeah, as far as promises and all, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So here, when we read that, but what about people say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor, wait a minute, you know, how could that be? Look at all the bad things that happened to us Christians. Look at what Merrick Garland's trying to do. He's going after pro-life Christians, and he's going after parents who care about their children, and Christian patriots. What about that? Okay, now how does that line up with? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So, in the end, where he says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Is he talking about what happens instantaneously on the spot when we're attacked, or is he referring in the end? That in the end, as far as all of those tongues that condemn us, those tongues have carried no weight at all, do they, as far as judgment goes? And so, in the end, do we stand before the world, or does the world stand before God?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think it could maybe be both, but both in that, God could immediately, like, stop something. We could stand on that verse, and it could stop something we're being attacked. But if we're being attacked, we got to stand. And then, in the end, we see the great victory. Did I make myself clear on that, Kristen?
Well, in other words, you're saying the final judgment is God's judgment, and that final judgment is, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness. Is of me, saith the Lord. So the final judgment is going to always work out, as he says, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord.
And those are called according to his purpose.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I can give you an example. And you're well aware of what I went through and the pro-lifers went through in York, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
And that went on for, I've lost track now. I'm going to say about 6-7 years. And then we stood and we were getting victories against the city was against us. The county was against us. The police was against us. The district attorney was against us. But the bottom line is, in the end, we had a tremendous victory in federal court. The city of York was forced to settle out of court for a lot of money for violating my constitutional rights. The police were given written instructions by the federal court on how to deal with pro-lifers. So for 7 years, we had to resist all this. And then in the end, we had the complete total victory against evil. But if we buckled at any time, if we cut and run at any time, Pastor Ernie, we would not have had that victory.
All right. So I can say the same thing many, many times when they drug me into court on all kinds of false charges, criminal trespassing, assault, and everything that they charged me with, it always came down to I was simply preaching the gospel. And even when I sang, "Don't fall into that burning lake of fire," to the witches, they charged me with terrorism. And so in all of those cases and all those times I went to court, we always came out, we always won in the end. And
yes, right.
and And so the enemy was just frustrated trying to prosecute us for saving babies. And so
in Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about the principalities and powers, and it tells us, therefore, and all things stand. And then it emphasizes again, therefore, stand. So our job is to stand against that, and then the Lord has our back.
All righty. Well, chapter 55, Isaiah 55, verse 11. Would you read that verse?
Okay. 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but shall it accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where unto I sent it.
So is he the fruitful, if you will, fruitful spreading of God's word or the gospel? Has that accomplished? Has the word of God accomplished which he said it would accomplish, what he intended?
Always, Pastor, and always. God's word does not return void.
Okay, very good. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and start with verse 23 and through 25. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 through 25.
Okay, 23 through 25. But if we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man.
Okay, so what weakness, what foolishness can be found in God?
Well, none. It's just he's stating, I can't explain it, but I know what he's saying.
Let me help you out here.
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Ernie. I'm tongue-tied.
All righty. The foolishness of God, when we preach the death, burial, and salvation of Christ, does not the world call that the foolishness of God?
Yes, exactly.
And so now here, so what he says, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What weakness could God possibly have?
Well, I'm going to take a chance here, and then I want to give you an example. The weakness of God could be viewed as the cross.
Okay.
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that it could be viewed as that. Because when you look at verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. See, foolishness.
Okay. So,
is that your answer for it?
Well, if God had a weakness, if he had a weakness, seeing how the difference between God and us, and His ways and our ways, and His strength and our strength, His being and our being, if He had a weakness, would that still not be stronger than all the strength that we have? Think about it on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if we take a look out there and we look at the entire universe that God created, and then we take a look at, you know, all those planets, and He named every one of them, and then we take a look at God's intellect and compare God's intellect with our intellect, do we see a huge chasm?
Yeah, a slight one, Pastor. I know it's huge.
Okay. So he's talking, if God had a weakness, it would still be stronger than men.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to give you an example. Through the years, I've spoken or I've shared the gospel with many Muslims, and they, just like the scripture says, you know, they're like offended by the cross, that Jesus died on the cross. So I talked to them about it, and what they view it is that a true prophet of God, God would not allow one of his prophets to die like Jesus did on the cross. But they don't understand about sin and all that. And their view of a prophet is like Muhammad, conqueror, you know, how Muhammad was conquering and all. So that's who they look at as the great prophet. But dying on the cross is such a disgrace to them. It's like foolishness, and it's like God's weak if Jesus was to die on the cross like that.
I heard an apostate preacher one time saying he could never, ever worship a God that would to place his son upon a cross and die a bloody mess.
Yeah, there you go.
And so, and that's what the apostate preacher said. So shouldn't he have kind of realized that God's ways are much higher than ours?
Well, again, if we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
All righty, we'll be back after this.
Founded in part by the Rockefellers, the United Nations has been acting as a de facto world government since 1945. Starting in the 1950s, the UN began funding scientists to measure for carbon dioxide. And in 1992, they drafted what they describe as the International Legal Instrument for the Conservation of Biological Diversity, and outlined their plans to seize control of land under the guise of climate conservation, known as Agenda 21, because they wanted to accomplish their goals by the 21st century. But by 2015, they were failing and officially pushed their deadline back with Agenda 2030. In 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation published Scenario for the Future of Technology and International Development, wherein they outlined four different ways of achieving their goals, which they wrote, once crossed, these axes create a matrix of four very different futures. In 2020, they crossed the axis into the lockstep matrix. In 2022, at their 15th Convention on Biological Diversity, COP15, the UN increased the amount of land they plan to steal to 30% by 2030. Their 30 by 30 plan will require the displacement of millions. So far, the direct confiscation approach is working in Europe. The Dutch farmers have been peacefully protesting, but they are being shot at by the police, and so the government isn't stopping, which is why the direct approach won't work in America. Less than a year after Agenda 21 was drafted, the U.S. federal government attempted stripping away constitutional land rights from the Bundy family in Nevada. It was fought in the courts for decades and resulted in a peaceful protest with armed protesters. To avoid a gunfight, the feds backed off and adapted their plans. In 2008, the Rockefeller Foundation published America 2050, a strategy to reclaim natural resources and reform the federal role in land use policy. The America 2050 documents outline which areas of the country will be depopulated and which areas will be politically absorbed into 10 new mega regions. The Rockefellers envision most of the depopulation to occur in the central corridor of the United States. These are the same states that experienced the most COVID vaccine deaths, a massive area that is not included in the America 2050 infrastructure map and excluded from the new high-speed rail system planned. A big part of Rockefeller's America 2050 is the High-Speed Rail in America plan, which requires the use of existing railways for its implementation. Some are suggesting that this is why we are seeing so many train derailments. There have been over a dozen derailments and chemical spills on railways in just the past few months, some of which, like the one in East Palestine, are highly suspicious. And these chemical spills could be used as an excuse by the state to evacuate you from your homes and steal your land. The Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act, commonly known as Superfund, was enacted by Congress in 1980. The Superfund provides the EPA with the authority to seize control of private lands for long-term remedial response actions during the event of a toxic disaster. If what we are being told about the chemicals that were burned and released into East Palestine is true, then the EPA could plausibly shut down a massive area, and Cleveland can house the dislocated Ohioans in their 15-minute cities, while the government cleans up the mess and accepts the land as payment. Whether it's called Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, or America 2050, the United Nations and their friends are never going to quit. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All righty, we're back. And, Jim, just today in Ohio, the Agenda 2030 is called NAWACA. NAWACA. We call it NAWACI because these people are wacky. And today, as they had another one of their meetings, these are New Age. These are very shadowy, shadowy people, but now they've been exposed. We've been shining the light on them. These are communist bureaucrats that go in and they lobby and they lobby and they lobby to politicians until they get them. They literally suck the lifeblood of the American people. Now, we've told them here in several counties here up in northeast Ohio have told NAWACA just to go away and leave us alone. We don't want you here. We don't. And I mean, when I'm telling you this, John, we had the one meeting that I was at the library where they advertised that they were going to be their present their program. There was about 100 people there, and out of that 100, one was in favor of NAWACI. The rest, all of the rest, the 99, said, "We want you. We just want you to go away. We don't want you here. This is the deep state. They're affiliated with the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization." And again, here now, so downtown in the 15-minute city there, Cleveland, the country's first 15-minute city, what they did is they tried to cut off or shut out the Christian patriots from their meeting today. And so, do you know what the 15-minute cities are, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and I'm so glad you brought this out tonight because I think most people would just would find this incredible. To think that this is a plan that's being implemented here in the United States. And the first city, now you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the first city chosen was Cleveland. Is that
right,
Pastor?
That's correct. Yep, you're right.
And what it is they wanted to set this city up in, I guess you would call it, quadrants. And that in each quadrant, you could like ride a bike or walk within 15 minutes. So your store would be 15 minutes away. The hospital would be 15 minutes away. I guess school would be 15 minutes away. And that to go outside of that 15-minute zone, you need permission for the government, Pastor Ernie. And they're already down the road on this in Europe, Great Britain, Holland. They're doing it in Great Britain and Holland. So you're going to be a prisoner on your own without permission from the government. You cannot leave this section of Cleveland to go to another area of the state to visit someone, to get a job. You're literally sort of like an open air, I guess you could call it, prison. Now, what they're talking about is if you go out, everybody's going to be
identified, Pastor Ernie. It'll be like a chip. We'll just say a chip will be placed in them. And if you go outside that area, it'll be identified, and you won't be able to buy or sell, and you will be punished. So if you needed, let's say they give you 1,000 credits a month, if you go outside that area unauthorized, they'll take some percentage away. So you won't really have police like we think of them, armed guards everywhere. I'm sure there'll be some, but they're going to do it electronically. So you go outside the area, you can't buy or sell, and they'll strip you of half of your digital money that you'll get. So this isn't bizarre, me and you sitting here making it up. I mean, they're already planning to do this in Cleveland as the prototype city for the United States.
You're absolutely right. What they, in the long range, so we've, this is what we've been dealing with and fighting against in Oahu. Now, Ohio's got a very strong Tea Party, and the Tea Party is aware. They're, you know, they're the ones, you know, we're aware of what is happening, where the vast majority of people out today in America are la-la landers, but that's starting to change. They're oblivious to what's happening because of the deep state has been doing so much of this undercover. But we reported on this years ago when I sat in their meetings, and what they want to do is they want to expand all your major cities like Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Houston. They want to expand the city limits 10 miles out. So you go straight out 10 miles all in a complete radius around the city. That's a lot of land. And what they want to do is they want to move everybody, the entire state within that 10-mile zone. And what they wanted to do, they've talked, this is not hidden. They've had it, on their websites and that, where they want to build a massive apartment buildings that are like 33 stories high. And I'm talking about big complexes, you know, large complexes. And then with that, on the first couple of floors, you'd have all your government offices, all your shopping centers and post office and all of that. But then the rest would be, they would house, the residents. In other words, they move everybody out of the countryside. In order to go into the countryside, you would need a passport. You need, unless you're one of the elite would be able to travel back and forth. But the regular people, John, would have to get permission to be able to venture out into the countryside. This is their goal. This is some mindset these people have, that the earth should be kept clean, pristine, for the so-called elite. But these people are absolute total fools, John. I mean, they're total fools with, we just did a program here. In fact, we had three speakers at our last meeting on this climate change. This climate change is the biggest hoax. It's every bit legitimate as the teachings of evolution. Now, the teachings of evolution are mathematically impossible. It can't happen. You've never, ever, ever had a creation that didn't have a creator. It's physically impossible to happen, but you still have these people teaching, this lunacy in the public fool system. And so now you've got, again, so-called climate change that they're talking about. Do you know, John, since 2017, do you know the earth is cooling, not heating up?
Yes, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah, it leveled off and it's cooling slightly. And they're remember, it wasn't too long ago they were talking about all the ice disappearing on the North Pole and the polar bears were all going to die. You remember that, Pastor?
Well, the ice is actually growing, and the polar bears, we have had it just in the past decade, they went from 24,000 to 28,000.
Right. So So they just say anything to keep this hysteria going. It's like they did the same thing with COVID-19. All these people were dying, and all they kept on saying that. And first of all, they were lumping, if you sneeze before you died, they said you died of COVID. It was all made up. The numbers were nowhere near what they were saying they were. And they just perpetuated it. And that's what they're doing with global warming. It's like they just keep it going from one like lie to another, to another, to another.
Absolutely. And so that's what's going on. Well, that's what NOAACA is. And folks, you got to listen. When you hear this, Agenda 2030, it's a red flag. It's a red flag. That we've got to stop this. Now, the other thing we've got to stop, John, here in Ohio, is what they call the abortion ballot initiative, the abortion ballot. In other words, they want to make child killing, baby killing, a constitutional right in Ohio. They want to add that. And here, this is horrible. This is what they did in Michigan, John. And what that would do, it would overturn every single piece of pro-life legislation that we ever passed. The heartbeat law, the Down syndrome abortion ban, the partial birth abortion, which I helped, worked on drafting that legislation myself. And so this is an evil, wicked, ungodly, just right from the pit of hell. And it's put up by people that belong in hell. And I'm sure someday they'll all be in hell by the most wicked, ungodly. The Bible says that those that hate God love death. This is put written up by people that hate God. And, of course, if they hate God, they hate us, don't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because we stand for his word. And the way we draw and know God is from his word. So we stand for the word of God, the literalness of it, and the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes. Pastor Ernie, if we don't get in the way of their political agenda, they can maybe tolerate us until they get complete power. But as we interfere with their political agenda, their hatred for us, I think it's beyond the hatred that the Nazis had for the Jews. I mean, we are provoking them to, like today that Fonda, what's Fonda's first name?
Jane Fonda.
Yeah. Did you hear what she said today, Pastor Ernie?
We used to call her Hanoi Jane. No, what did she say?
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, yeah. She said that pro-life Christians should all be murdered.
Now, let me show you what kind of a fool that woman is. I heard her say that as long as you could support abortion, then she would be a Christian. But if you couldn't support abortion, then she could not possibly be a Christian. What do you think she knows about being a Christian, what being a Christian is?
Zero. She knows what it's like to follow Baal or Moloch.
Jane Fonda is an extremely wicked but unclean woman. She's a very wicked and unclean woman. And
she hasn't changed one bit from Hanoi Jane. You know, Pastor Ernie, there. I'm sure you have listeners here that maybe have no idea why we refer to her as Hanoi Jane.
Well, she was on the side of the Viet Cong. She was on the side of the North Vietnamese during the war when she was encouraging them to kill more American soldiers. She was encouraging them to kill more American soldiers.
Yeah, there was an infamous picture of her. I guess she had a North Vietnamese uniform and hat on, and she was in a anti-aircraft position. And she was there showing their support and, like looking like she was going to shoot down American planes when they flew over. So she was a bona fide traitor giving aid and comfort to the enemy. And that has not changed in her one bit, Esther.
And because we don't have a Justice Department, because the Democrats have infiltrated to the point, and this is what we've got to rout the rats out. We've got to rout the rats out. That they've infiltrated every part of our structure here, the FBI, the Justice Department, and so. Yeah, and here, it's called high treason. She's committed high treason. By the way, do you know what, that according to, David Horowitz, so has Biden, is guilty of high treason. And he said this, former radical leftist turned conservative commentator says, President Joe Obama Biden, I put the Joe Obama in, is guilty of treason for selling out the United States to his foreign adversaries for piles and piles of dirty cash. Isn't this what we've been telling people for the longest time, Joe? Or John?
Yeah, John. Oh, yeah. I don't know how far back that's, Ernie, but, I mean, it hasn't been just yesterday. It's been a while back. We were warning everybody how corrupt he is. Because he sold out America to Red China to the tune of like $1.8 billion. And then what he did with Ukraine. That's why all that money that's going to the Ukraine, I don't know, it's not accountable for. And who knows how many billions they're getting back in kickbacks when it goes to the Ukraine, and they have their own money laundering system. So it's like they're becoming millionaires and billionaires over the war in Ukraine giving us over to Red China.
Yeah, exactly, and see, we've said from the very start, before he was even in the White House, that the Chinese Communist Party had they owned, in fact, they said this. I heard them themselves when they were at a rally. We had off the internet. We were watching this, where the Chinese generals and their top scientists were lecturing, and they were saying that we have our people in the highest places in America. They work for us. And he's talking about...
You're right, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
You're right. You're 100% right. They were bragging about it.
Yeah, and they were laughing. He goes on to say in this article by Samantha Cheng. This is an article by Samantha Cheng. In an explosive commentary published Tuesday in Front Page Magazine under the headline, "How Should We Regard the President's Treason?" David Horowitz said, Biden has betrayed, America. Who is Joe Biden, Horowitz wrote. The language we have been using to describe what has happening to our country is so sanitized that most fearless of our politicians and news commentators will go no farther than wondering aloud whether Joe Biden might be compromised by influence peddling side businesses with our enemies in China and Russia. Well, here again, remember, Biden's people were saying, what's wrong with him? Why is he opening our borders? Why is he opening our borders? Why is he doing that? Why is he allowing all of this drug, this fentanyl, to come in to kill our people? Why is he making sure that all of this fentanyl gets in there? Why is he making sure all of this human trafficking, all of these young men who are of military age are coming in, all of these terrorists, the terrorists they've called, why is Biden bringing all of these terrorists into America? Well, he's obeying orders from China, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's an arm of the New World Order, Pastor. And Klaus Schwab praises China. He said that China's a model for the rest of the world.
Yeah, I know. And so
we We've been sold out on the highest. They hate America. There's no other way you can explain what Biden and the Democrats are doing. There's no other way. I mean, they're not that stupid. They may be, yeah, dumb, but they're not that stupid. Everything they're doing, they do nothing right for the nation. Everything is to destroy it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and somehow there's a mindset amongst the so-called elite that when they do destroy America, that they will be able to get away or it won't come back to them, huh?
Yeah, well I think the New World Order knows how treacherous these people are, and they would eliminate them also.
Here's an article here by Gateway Pundit. Shadow government. The DOG has a secret domestic surveillance program, runs like a corrupt government. No kidding. Well, Politico reported on Monday that the U.S. Department of Justice has a secret domestic surveillance program that runs like a corrupt government. Tell us something we don't know. Since this is clearly unconstitutional, maybe Republicans should attempt to investigate this program and lock up the culprits. Now, does this happen in Washington, D.C. anymore? Do the crooks ever serve time, or do they just serve the FBI, the DOJ, and on the D.C. Court of Appeals? Via pro-Trump news and political. By the way, today they were supposed to bring Trump before the grand jury and indict Trump today. But I don't know if that ever went down, but they were saying that was going to happen today. Have you heard anything?
Nothing, Pastor, and nothing. They just go from one false accusation and charge to another. They have been doing this for, 6 years now?
Oh, yeah.
Years, whatever it is. And you notice, if you pick up, like, the New York Times, I don't read it, but I'll pick up excerpts from it. And, oh, inside sources, Trump is going to be indicted. They have this top, they've got him locked up with all this evidence, and then nothing ever happens. But they go from one false charge and allegation to another on him.
Absolutely. Under the domestic intelligence program, officials are allowed to seek interviews with just about anyone in the United States. That includes people held in immigrant detention centers, local jails, and federal prisons. The Department of Human Services, or DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security. Intelligence professionals have to say that they're conducting intelligence interviews and that they have to tell the people they seek to interview their participation is voluntary. But the fact that they're allowed to go directly to incarcerated people, circumventing their lawyers, raises important civil liberties concerns, according to legal experts. Well, we're going to, after we have a clip we're going to play right after the break that comes up. And take a listen to this clip because, well, it's got to do with all of what's going on today. So we'll be back right after this with a clip of, well, the EPA officials just said we're under attack.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.